beautiful college in Porterhouse in Chicago's famous Hotel Sherman, it's time now for your family to join the millions of families from coast to coast to listen to America's favorite, Don McNeil and his Breakfast Club. And now here he is, your Toastmaster, Don McNeil.
Good morning, Breakfast Clubbers. Morning to ya. We woke up right here because how we do. First call to breakfast for all of you out there.
America, wake up, Breakfast Club.
Well, sir, on this Thursday, you have to go to the Gulf Coast or the Rockies, parts of it, to find any rain today. The rest of the country is very, very lovely indeed. It is just about perfect weather to welcome teachers from all over the country conventioning here in Chicago. I think it's real nice that the teachers are able to convene here. But we have Knights of Columbus delegates here. We have 28 California and Arizona folks on a nationwide bus tour. We have music teachers, florists, salesmen, bankers, housewives, students, nurses, bookkeepers, all kinds of folks in town for all kinds of reasons.
I have a flower.
What?
I have a flower in my lapel.
I noticed that.
The florist left it for me yesterday when they left. With a
nice.
Little card to Sam, a nosegay for his gay nose.
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
Isn't that nice?
Very nice.
Very, very nice indeed, Sam.
Not funny, but nice.
No, not funny. But rather nice. Well, it's like those things that happen every day in school. I'm going to ask some of these teachers to recall the funniest incident that ever happened in their school. And I know there must be a lot of them. Mrs. Nelson Tracy of Middletown, Rhode Island, sent me one. Little boy in her family said to his mother one day after he'd begun first grade in school, he came home and he said, "Say, Mom, what is a dumb ring?" Just come back from school, first grade, you know, and she thought, what is this? He said, "Mom, what is a dumb ring?" And she was mystified, and she asked where he had heard this word. And he said, "We sang it in school. We sang a song. It was the very first day we started singing it." She said, "What song, Dumb Ring? I don't get it." "Yeah," he said, "every morning we sing, Let Free, Dumb Ring."
Oh, whoa. You want my flower?
I think I'll take that. Well, I imagine that some of these gals and fellas, too, will have some real amusing incidents to report from us that happened in school. But right away, we're going to start with Dick Noel here, a gentleman who attended the schools in Long Island somewhere.
Yeah.
I started to say out in Huntington, Long Island, but I took the microphone apart.
Send out a technician. Noel is in there again.
Yeah, I did that without stumbling.
Yeah. He just pulled the microphone cord out.
How's it going now? Hello, there we are. I was saying, Don, I went to Huntington High School, Huntington, Long Island, then I went to Lincoln Grade... No, I went to Lincoln Grade School first, then I went to... I really didn't get to school.
Did you go to school in Cincinnati?
No, I was out of school. I didn't live in Cincinnati till I was 22.
22.
Mm-hmm.
Last year.
2 years ago.
That's fine.
2 years ago.
Okay, Richard, what are you going to say?
Nickelodeon rank.
All right.
Not alone.
No.
Let's not leave out the important part of this.
Yeah, Bill Kranz is going to play.
All right, fine.
He plays an old Nickelodeon rank. When things are starting to drag, they gather round him while he's pounding the keys. Oh, how they go for the old melodies. He plays that piano all night, fingers flying to the left and right. So if you happen to happen this way, don't bother rapping, just walk in and say, a happy time is in the bag. When there's an old Nickelodeon rag, Nickelodeon rag.
Begins when it's played by Bill Kranz.
That was Bill Kranz, accompanied by Dick Noel and Eddie Valentine. Nickelodeon Rag. Lynn Vogel of Topeka, Kansas, please, ma'am.
Sir.
Please, sir, I beg your pardon. Lynn could be either one, couldn't it? Mm-hmm. But a Lynn by any other name would smell just as sweet, I'm sure. However, this happens to be a young fella. How old?
11.
11 years old, huh? What grade are you in?
I'll be in 7th next year.
Attaboy. You are going to enjoy 7th grade, no doubt.
I hope so.
How'd you enjoy sick?
Okay, glad to get rid of it.
Glad to get rid of it. That's about what they all say, I guess. Yeah. Did you ever see so many teachers in one place in your life?
No. Except in our school auditorium.
Oh, really? It's nice to see so many smiling teachers here, isn't it?
No.
No?
No.
One thing that I think teachers will agree with me on is the fact that young fellas about your age are always crazy about riddles. They're always bringing riddles in. And I understand you've got one, too. I understand from your car. What's your riddle?
Well, which would you rather be? A tree, a waterfall, or a lollipop?
Which would I rather be? A tree?
A waterfall.
A waterfall, or a lollipop? What if I said a tree?
Maybe a sap.
What if I said a waterfall?
Maybe a big drip.
I haven't got much of a chance.
I know.
I think I've reached a plateau. What if I said a lollipop?
You'd be a big sucker.
Yeah.
I knew that was coming.
You can't win either way, can you?
Huh?
You can't win either way.
No, you can't. No, no matter
you
what
sure
you say.
You sure told me, boy.
Sam, let's you and I play a little riddle game.
All right, yeah. Okay, right. I got one for you.
All right.
What is green, grows all over, and is covered with concrete?
I don't know. What is it?
Grass. I just put it in the concrete to make it difficult.
Now, I remember that joke. You're supposed to say, you know, you put it in there to make it hard.
Well, it's the same thing. Difficult.
No, it isn't.
Hard.
No, it isn't. No, it's a...
hard.
Silly.
Any teacher would know that.
Oh, stop. You try this one.
All right.
What has 110 degrees and creates slimness?
That's easy. A steam bath.
Well, Frank. Fine. How you doing?
I'm fine. You're Frank Bono from Houston.
That's right.
What do you do, Frank?
Well, I'm a retired weather stripping man.
Retired now?
Retired.
You don't strip the weather anymore?
No more. No more.
You have had trouble for a number of years, I understand, talking to your wife at a certain time of the
That's
day.
That's right.
What time of the day?
9 o'clock in the morning.
She won't talk?
No.
Why not?
Well, she's listening to you. That's the reason I came here, to see who you were.
Yeah. Well, now that you see, you don't mind anymore.
Oh, no, no. I'm safe now.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's a good thing to do, to take a look at it. Once you see him, why, you know, there's nothing to worry about.
Oh, nothing to worry about.
Okay, boy. Go talk to your wife. Hello, Mrs. Mooney.
How are you, Don?
I am fine. How are you?
Oh, just grand.
Say, I kind of got interested in this little story that you wrote on your card here about the time you and your husband took a trip to Maine. What happened there?
Oh, we went up to see a friend of ours up there, and we thought we'd gone about far enough, you know, to get to her house. We couldn't find it.
Mm-hmm.
So we pulled off the side of the road and decided we'd better just stay there overnight because it was so late, see? And we got up and changed seats. We had a little one-seated car. And we got up and changed seats in the middle of the night to be a little more comfortable. And got out and walked around the car. And the next morning when we woke up, here the car was sitting out on a little promontory sticking out into the middle of a big quarry. And if we'd made one misstep, boy, we'd have had it. went down about 60 or 70 feet right off right there in front of the car and on either side. And we had a harder time getting that car out of there than we did getting in.
And I bet you just really mopped your brow in the morning.
Well, we sure did. And where we were going was only 8 miles away.
Wow, but you almost made it straight down.
Yes, sure.
Well, thank you. I'm glad you did. I'm glad you're here. 13:30, Chicago time. Now, let's have a little song by Geraldine. Yes, sir. This cute little gal's gonna sing what for us?
Someone to watch over me.
There's a somebody I'm longing to see. I hope that he turns out. to my heart he carries a key. Won't you tell him, please, to put on some speed? Follow my lead, oh, how I need someone to watch over me.
Sure. Mighty nice. Beautifully done. Someone to watch over me. I don't know whether you saw this in Reader's Digest or not. You teachers, I think you might get a kick out of it. I did, at least. It was a Lafayette College professor's explanation of why undergraduates were compelled to take so many English courses. He said the reason is, in order to teach them a language other than their own. Pretty cute, isn't it? Pretty cute. All right, now comes our moment of silent prayer. Each in his own words, each in his own way. For a world united in peace, let us bow our heads and pray. Time around the breakfast table. These are words that an ancient writer used, but if you translate them into your own particular sphere of activity, they're just as good today. I sleep, I drink, and I eat. I read, I meditate. I walk in my neighbor's pleasant fields and see all the varieties of natural beauty. And he who hath so many forms of joy must needs be very much in love with sorrow and peevishness, who loseth all these pleasures and chooseth to sit upon his little handful of thorns.
While others forsake and desert you, when you're in the depth of despair, you'll share all your burden and sorrow. Just seek him and he'll be there. He's only a prayer away. He's only a prayer away. God will be
Doherty is a teacher from Boston, Massachusetts, I'd like to talk to. There she is. Mary, as a matter of fact, found out that college educations do not come cheaper by the half dozen, is that right?
That's right.
What do you mean by that?
Well, we have a half a dozen children to put through college someday.
You and your husband have a half a dozen
That's
children?
That's right.
So what did you do after the sixth arrived, Mary?
Well, I went back to college. I got my degree. And now I'm teaching so that someday they can go.
Isn't that wonderful? You actually went back to school after your sixth one had been lost.
That's right. I went to Boston University. I went nights and Saturdays, and in the summertime I took morning classes.
I think that's a real, real fine thing, don't you? Real fine. Mary, what are you teaching now?
I teach science in the junior high school.
Do you? Huh? Mary, we read so much about a shortage of teachers, a shortage of classrooms. What do you think about that?
Oh, there is. I know a lot of married women who are going back to school to do just what I did.
Mm-hmm.
Because they want better teachers for their children than they see them getting now.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going back to work.
Do you think the fact that the teachers are low in the wage scale as compared with a lot of other, I shouldn't say industries, but a lot of other occupations, has anything to do with the lack of teachers?
Oh, it has a lot to do with it. It's not all of it.
Mm-hmm.
After all, you know, we have a good cartoonist in Boston. And he drew one day. It showed a picture of first a teacher. She was afraid of the principal. The principal was afraid of the superintendent. Superintendent was afraid of the school board. School board was afraid of the parent. The parent was afraid of the child. Child was afraid of no one.
I see what you mean. Thank you very much. how true, they are afraid of no one. Interesting looking lady, would you stand up, please? You.
Don't know how interesting I am, but I'll stand up.
Yeah, yeah, you look interesting to me.
Oh, thank you, Don.
Yeah. What's your name?
I'm Mrs. Amelia Davis of Galesburg, Illinois.
Weren't you here once before?
Oh, I've been here before, yes. And I was here yesterday, had a card. 200 got turned away, and I was one of them.
Oh.
So I came back.
Amelia,
oh,
I'm sorry.
I know you are. You look sorry.
Yeah, I'm a sorry-looking man.
Well, we're too sorry-looking, Mom.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry that you did. We did have an unusually big crowd yesterday.
Yeah, today I was just a big one, too.
No, I'm not saying that.
Oh,
but today it's just right. We're just filling the place just nicely. What do you do, Amelia?
I'm retired.
I see.
Widow.
Uh-huh. Well, you said that with a kind of a twinkle. You mean you're still looking, is that it?
Oh, no.
Oh.
Nobody wants me.
Is that right? Have you asked?
No.
Oh.
Don, I'd like to tell you something.
Yes.
I'm an old lady. I'm 70 years old. But I'll tell you one thing. What a laughing at.
Huh?
Because I'm 70?
No, because you said...
All right.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you. Even though I am an old lady at 70, I have sung in my church choir for 55 years, and I defy anybody here to tell me whether they have done the same.
Isn't that wonderful?
I think so.
You know, I think that is true. You know, I sang in my church choir for 3 years until they found out it wasn't the organ that was on the bum after all.
Well, I don't know anything about that, but I have been a soloist in my church choir for 55 years. And another thing, on my local station, 2 weeks ago, on Sunday morning, at 9, from 9 to 9:15, we have a Swedish program. And the pastor who gave that talk in the morning is 85 years old, or 84 possibly. And so we were a pair of old ones, you know. And... Well, we were.
But
and I sang 2 Swedish hymns on that program.
Is that
so? I have been on the radio before.
Well, good for you. I could tell you had unused talent.
Oh, I know, yes. Don. You and I are a good pair.
Yes, sir. They'll never keep you out of here again. I'll tell you that, Amelia.
All right. Now, if I come back here next year.
Yes.
And I have a card or don't have a card, I'm going to say, Don said I would never be...
Kept out of
kept
here.
Kept out
again.
Of here again.
Yeah, let me in, you say.
Let me
and
in.
And they'll let you in.
Oh, thank you.
Yes.
Say, how about Aunt Fanny? Is she here?
No, not this morning.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. Well, come back again tomorrow.
Oh, I can't. I have to go home.
Oh, come on.
I'm
stay
going home
over.
Tonight.
Oh, come on.
Oh,
come on.
Oh.
Why don't you stay over?
I can't.
You can't? We'll come back again
I've got
sometime.
Folks from Houston, Texas that are going home with me.
Oh, is that so?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It was awfully nice to...
Well, thank you, honey child. Thank you. Wonderful to see you. Yeah, we're doing our marching here in the Porter House room. Why don't you do it at home and join us, huh? Come on, everybody, march. I tell you, these are splendid marchers here this morning. Let me talk to this young fellow who led the march here today. Stand up here, sonny boy. I noticed how straight he marched. What's your name?
Everett Rich.
Where are you from, Everett?
Toledo.
Toledo, Ohio? What does your mommy do?
Teach.
I thought so. You march so straight, I just said to myself, I bet his mother's a teacher. And I'll bet she said to you, now, what's your first name, Everett? I bet she said, Everett, stand up straight. Has she ever said that?
Nope.
Everett. Really? You just stood up straight by yourself like that? You? You're such a straight ramrod of a marcher. What are you going to be when you grow up, Everett?
A policeman.
What gave you that idea? Why do you want to be a policeman?
Because.
What do they do? Huh?
Protect people.
They what?
Protect people.
Oh, protect people. Well, that's a new version of it, and I think that's wonderful. That's wonderful. Nice way to put it. What'd your daddy do?
Goes to work.
Goes to work. Well, my sons could never say that. Good to talk to you, Everett, old boy. You're a fine figure of a young fellow, I'll tell you that. Great as an arrow. Goes to work, huh? The guy's in a rut. All right, let's get to Geraldine now.
Certainly.
Yeah, that's a nice polka dot thing you're wearing there, Gerald.
Thank you. It's a little hanky material, like, you know, very light.
Little what?
It's hanky material is what they call it, silk. Very sheer silk.
Hanky?
Hanky.
Oh, like a handkerchief?
Material. Mm-hmm.
Oh, well.
Oh, well.
No.
No, Dick.
It's just the same kind of material, Dick.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Excuse me.
Yeah, we don't use it as such.
Yes, if you don't mind. All right. Well, what are you going to sing, Gerald?
Yeah. I may be wrong. You're swell. I like your style, say, I think it's marvelous. I'm always wrong, so how can I tell? All of my clothes are unsightly. All of my hats are a crime. If they're in you, I think rightly. It's the very first time you came along, say, I think you're wonderful. I think you're grand, but I may be wrong. Deuces to me are all aces. Life is to me just a sham. Faces are all open spaces, just so you don't look like Sam. You came along, say, I think you're wonderful. I think you're grand, but I may be wrong.
Thank you, Gerald. Yeah, she's poking old Sam just to show him she didn't mean it.
Yeah.
I love
nice.
You still.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Teachers are prone to ask questions. So I wonder what questions teachers would ask me if I gave them an opportunity. Teachers, here is your chance to put up your hands and ask a question, like you're always asking your students to do. Now, come on, teachers. Let's not just sit here and look out the window, teachers, on a bright sunny day. Let's pay attention.
Let's have our questions ready.
There's a question.
We'll stay after school.
Yeah, that's right. This teacher has a question, and her name is...
My name is Mrs. Tanya Yates.
From?
Kindergarten teacher from Detroit, Michigan.
Yes, Mrs. Yates.
Do you have a leisure period?
You mean during our program?
What do you do with your leisure?
What do I do with my leisure?
We have a leisure period.
Yes.
Every day from 8 to 9.
May I also ask, do you have a coffee break?
Do we have a coffee break? Oh, yes. I tell you, we have such a coffee break here that if we bought coffee for everybody, it'd break us in no time.
This is just propaganda. You know that the teachers are asking for an hour free of supervision from children, and this is just a plug for all of us.
Oh, I see. That's one of the deals you got in this teachers' union, is it?
Yes.
You want an hour off away from the children?
Yes.
During school?
During school time.
And you want a coffee break at that time, is that it? We're beside that.
If we can have it, if possible, it seems that industry does.
Sir, we'll be back at the same old spot tomorrow, and I hope you will, too. Until then, this is your Toastmaster, Don McNeil, and all the gang saying so long, and be good to yourself.
Don McNeil's Breakfast Club has come to you through the worldwide facilities of the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.